This is The Yearbook, also known as That's What It Says in the Yearbook. I'm your host, Doug. I'm getting to that. The same host who had the vivid dream just prior to this podcast where we took that individual to the Super Bowl. We dragged this particular individual to the Super Bowl, this being a dream. We didn't ever actually see any gameplay. Roger Goodell probably controls that too. But it's one of those dreams that was so vivid, you swear you'll remember it forever. You wake up and you're like, wow, I still remember it. Yes, what luck. But then 10 minutes later, half an hour later, 2 days later, it disappears forever. This, though, was so vivid. And coming right before the podcast, it inspired nothing. It has nothing to do with this episode. For this current season, the one that's wrapping up right now, the NHL, the National Hockey League, ruled that teams that have just iced the puck can no longer call a timeout to waste time or rest their players. What a great rule in just about any other sport. But now, there is no but. We hate this rule. If you don't know what icing is, the technical version of the rule is you shoot the puck across the red line. That's the center of the ice. You shoot the puck across the red line all the way down into the other team's end, and it crosses their goal line. It doesn't go in the goal, but it crosses their goal line without anybody touching it. It was put into place, really all you need to know, is it was put into place decades and decades and decades and hundreds of thousands of years ago because teams would just ice the puck all night without actually playing any hockey, whether it be for revenge or just as a stall tactic. A team would just fire the puck all the way down to the other end of the ice without actually trying to score or without actually touching the puck. It would go all the way down to the other team's end, and then the other team would respond in kind. They would just send the puck up and down the ice without actually doing anything all night, and the fans would boo. That's why it was put into place. And for only the last 13 years, teams that have iced the puck have not been allowed to sub anyone out or in. That is a great rule. When the other team is pressing the heck out of you, you can't ice the puck to avoid trouble and rest your spent, and I mean spent, players. That is an actual disadvantage. In other news, NHL teams get only one timeout per game. That's also an actual disadvantage. You can't win a challenge and earn a bonus timeout. You only get one. In football, coaches call timeouts to distract opposing kickers, but at least with the naked eye, there doesn't seem to be proof that this actually works. Same in hockey, where at least with the naked eye, there doesn't seem to be proof that teams actually lose more because they can't call time. So maybe not an actual disadvantage. Plus, say the Ducks are playing the Brewers. Yeah, I know. The Ducks ice the puck and are barred from calling time. Great. But if the Brewers lose the faceoff, a very real possibility, or give the puck away at any time, they're tired too, after all. There goes the whole advantage. If you want to see this rare, rare scenario play out last spring, all you had to do was watch one playoff game. Now, if NHL teams had three timeouts or six timeouts, or pitching changes, this rule would make perfect sense. But if the Ducks decide to use a timeout on an icing call, they run a significant risk of winding up in the exact same situation 12 seconds later when they ice the puck again, this time without a timeout. If you wanted to see that rare, rare, rare scenario play out last spring, all you had to do was watch one playoff game. As far as the movie goes, we were really looking forward to the Charlize Theron movie Atomic Blonde last summer. We hadn't heard of the graphic novel prior. We didn't know anything about the movie or it coming out, hadn't heard anything about it. So we were really looking forward to it, but it left the theater before we could see it. Hopefully we're the first podcast to ever be able to say that. Seriously, dude, how are all these guys getting into all these movies? So we were curious if we'd like it, and yes. Everyone seems to agree it's a pretty movie, which is kind of a curse. Yeah, it's great to look at, but, well, it is great to look at. But the action is stellar. One of the biggest problems we have with action movies and superhero movies is, despite the elaborate fight scenes, they're all starting to run together. But some movies, including Atomic Blonde, find a way to shoot them differently. The stunts are great, and with long edits, it really shows the brutality of some of these exciting fights. It just looks different. Also, thankfully, for the most part, the 1980s, when the movie takes place, are not played for nostalgia. People listen to what they listen to and wear what they wear because it's the 80s. For the most part, it's not, hey, look, it's this song. Atomic Blonde is not perfect. It can be tough to follow the story, which is probably just me, to be honest. And the really sharp, excellent dialogue runs through the entire movie until inexplicably the last 4 minutes. That does not give anything away. It's just inexplicably, the dialogue goes off the rails in the last 4 minutes, including one very not end of the 90s term that's used in the movie. But overall, Charlize Theron is great. The movie even makes good visual use of everything. Even hairstyles, not a typo, and we really liked it. But your opinion is the only one that really counts here. I just realized I'm not used to making these throws.